This day right here is our day to shine. If we're going to do that, ironically, there are some things to remember to shine, but also some things to forget. So I want to talk to you today about the art of spiritual forgetting. Now, I don't know about you, I will often get frustrated by my capacity to forget. There's a phrase, absent-minded professor, and I never reached the professor caliber, but the absent-minded part, I got down pretty good. One of the first weddings I ever did, I forgot the name of the bride that I was marrying two times. I mean, not the wedding that I was a groom, but where I was officiating. I can walk into a room, and like it's 5 seconds, and by the time I get into the room, I forgot why I was there. And that can be quite frustrating. But there's a strange thing when it comes to the role of forgetfulness in mind. There's a couple of authors, Fawcett and Hurlbut, who wrote an article in the Journal of Applied Research of Memory and Cognition. And they say that far from being one of the mind's greatest failures, forgetting is one of the mind's great successes. So be encouraged on this. We're going to get there. I want to start with what Paul says about what we're doing in our lives and the role that forgetting plays in that. So this is Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. He's been talking about everything is a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And we've been looking at how that idea of knowing Jesus is not knowing about him. It's not knowledge by description. It's knowledge by acquaintance. It's interactive participation with him. This moment, the next moment, the next moment. It's experiential. But then Paul goes on to say, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. First he says, I'm not there yet, haven't arrived. It's about progress, not perfection. And this is real important for what we do together. If you're part of the Fellowship of the Withered Hand, Dallas Willard used to talk about this, but I'll just name it for me. One of my assumptions will be, that a lot of what I say is wrong. And the reason behind this is everybody else I know is wrong about a lot of stuff, and it would be extremely unusual if I was the one exception to that rule. And of course, when we read from Scripture, this is a unique source of wisdom and knowledge about God. But of course, it all has to be interpreted. We all got to try to figure out, what does it mean? What's Paul saying? And we all get a lot of that stuff wrong. So it'll be real important, you know, when you are reading, listening to me, when we do that with each other, to always step back and ask myself, what do I really think about this? What do I truly believe? Because everybody's wrong about a lot of stuff. And Paul himself says, I haven't obtained all this. I haven't reached my goal. It's not about perfection. It's just about progress. But this one thing I do. There was a movie years ago called City Slickers, and this character played by Jack Palance has this great line where he says, life's about one thing. It needs to be integrated. It needs to be organized. It needs to be arranged about one thing. And another actor, Billy Crystal, says, like, what is that one thing? But Jack Palance, I don't know. You got to figure that out for yourself. Jesus and Paul would agree life's about one thing, but they would also say, actually, you can know what it is. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness to live in friendship, grace, forgiveness, guidance, power, love with God. To be a person of love and truth and joy in this moment and the next moment and the next moment. That's the thing. Paul's talking about that same reality, but he describes it as knowing Christ. But it's the same reality that he's pointing to as seeking first the kingdom. And that's what a disciple does. Dallas Willard again. That a disciple is someone whose ultimate goal in life is to live the way that Jesus would live if Jesus was in my place. Not for me to live his life. He's already done that. But if he was with me, helping me to live my life together with him, that's what a disciple says. And then Paul goes on to say, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. So why is forgetting such a wonderful thing? And I mentioned the authors of that article a moment ago. It's very striking. They talk about three great benefits of forgetting, and we'll see that in what Paul is saying. Forgetting makes possible healing. When I think about the regrets for what I've done or the resentment for what others have done to me, forgetting can bring healing from that, the right kind of forgetting. And then they talk about forgetting as kind of a librarian. My mind gets cluttered with so much junk and stupid stuff and things that doesn't matter, stuff that I might have read online. And when I'm able to let go of that, to release that, I'm able to focus on wisdom and what really does matter. And then they also talk about forgetting being a kind of inventor, that I can get stuck in ruts. I can think that things always have to be done in the same way. And when I'm able to forget about what it was that happened in the past, actually a new level of creativity can come into my life. So forgetting makes possible healing. Forgetting makes possible clarity of focus and wisdom. And then it makes possible a kind of creativity in life. Now, listen to what Jerry Hawthorne says about what Paul is writing here in Jerry Hawthorne's great commentary on Philippians. Paul wishes to express the importance of completely forgetting. Paul uses one of those participles, one of those ing verbs, and that can be put in what's called the aorist tense, and that communicates action that took place in a moment in time. Or it can be put in the present tense, and that means I'm constantly doing this. And Paul uses the present tense for forgetting here. In other words, I'm constantly forgetting from one moment to the next. Forget those wrongs done. For example, with Paul, he talks about how as a persecutor of the church. Forget that, those things whose memory could paralyze one with guilt and despair. A great moment in that show, Ted Lasso. He's a coach of a soccer team, an accidental coach, and one of the players just beating himself up over a mistake he made in the game. And Ted says, what's the happiest animal? It's a goldfish, because its memory is only 10 seconds long. And zoologically, I don't think that's quite true, but that notion to be able to forget, to cease to be paralyzed by the horrible things that I have done or the things that have been done to me. That's one kind of forgiving. And then Jerry goes on, forget too those attainments so far achieved as a person or a Christian or in education or in work, the recollection of which might cause one to put life into neutral and say, I have arrived. I did all these wonderful things. Or people may do that with an achievement or a title. I want to let you know the important people that I know. Now forget that stuff. Forget the wrongs. Forget the attainments. And then Jerry says this, forget in such a way that the past, good or bad, will have no negative bearing on one's present spiritual growth or conduct. Forget in such a way. The idea here is this is not repression. Freud talked about the idea that if there's some truth that's too unpleasant or painful, I'll just push it into my unconscious. And there's some debate in modern psychology whether that actually happens or not. But that's not what Paul is talking about. This doesn't mean there's something that I wouldn't like to look at, so I'll try not to think about it. No. It's also not what sometimes is called unethical amnesia. It's very striking. We all tend to remember very clearly the wrongs that have been done to us, but not the wrongs that we have done to other people. Or in our day of political polarization, we all tend to remember real clearly the wrongs done by the people of the other side, of the other party, but we're real fuzzy about the ones that were done by. That's not, Paul is not calling for unethical amnesia here. In the field of psychology, it turns out there's such a thing as directed forgetting. People are actually able to, when told, indirectly work on forgetting something. But the way that they do that is precisely what Paul talks about here. He says, forgetting what is behind, I press on towards what is ahead. And he uses the image of a runner that's so fixed on winning the goal, winning the prize, straining forward, that that's what's consuming him. Kierkegaard said this about memory. If there is anything you want to forget, then try to find something else you want to remember, and you will certainly succeed. And that's what Paul is doing. Miroslav Volf has written a wonderful book called The End of Memory on memory, and his own background was such that he experienced deep oppression in the country from which he came, and so he's writing about that. But he talks about how we forget. This kind of biblical forgetting is not a form of amnesia. It's not as if something could be erased. It is what he calls not coming to mind. Not coming to mind. And the idea is, for example, God says in Jeremiah 31, verse 34, about his people, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. And the idea is not that God has some memory problems. The awareness of that truth will be there for God and for us, but there is not the need or the desire to for it to come to mind, for me to either torture myself or resent another person. There is on my phone a little feature. My pal Jackson, my partner, was just showing it to me. I was having this weird thing where I was getting like double indicators of some calendar event, or sometimes the wrong one. And it was showing how the gray ones are because Siri or ChatGPT or some magic little person in my phone is reading my email and putting stuff onto my calendar, which may or may not be accurate. And he said, you could just click this and then it'll give the option, ignore. And if you just punch ignore, it's gone. And I love that little picture in my mind. I think about Paul, just, I hit ignore. I'm a persecutor of the church. I was there holding the coach when Stephen was killed. That could torment me the rest of my life. But now I no longer have to be tormented by that. So, what is it in your life today? And I know this well, my guilt, my inadequacy, my failure, often in quite a large, vague way that I could just be defeated by. Or the hurt that somebody else inflicted on me where it's kind of pleasurable to just ruminate over it. Just punch that little ignore button. I have something else to think about. I press on toward the mark. This one thing I do. I got to live with Jesus today. That's how we shine.
Hey, thanks for tuning in here at Become New. Just in case you haven't heard it yet today, God loves you. And a pastor friend of mine puts it this way, he cannot love you any more than he already does, and he will not love you any less. Maybe you needed to be reminded of that today as you're going into your day, whatever it holds for you. I found this teaching really inspiring, challenging, helpful to forget what is behind and press on toward Christ. I've got some doozies behind me, some things I regret, choices I've made that I wish I could forget sometimes. And I don't know about you, but it was inspiring to just remember that I can fix my eyes ahead on Christ. I was thinking about that hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. So I would love to hear what stood out to you today, what you felt like God was speaking to your heart. And as always, if you need prayer, we are here to pray for you. If you want to connect with somebody, drop a comment below this video, or email us or text us. All of our contact information is in the show notes. So thanks for tuning in. We're glad that you're here, and we will see you next time.